Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and First Lady Jill Biden, accompanied by Dr. Edja Ndom.
Here. It's so nice to see all of you. And you're getting me so emotional before I have to speak about cancer. So anyway, welcome to the White House. And you know, certain words have the power to make time stop. Malignant, aggressive, terminal, cancer. Like a spell, they still the air around us. Frozen in place, we feel the world we knew slipping away. In the span of a breath, 1,000 questions fill our minds. What can I do? How do I tell people? Why did this happen? And when the hands of the clock begin to move once again, we are not the person we once were. But someone changed. A mother imagining all of the things she might not be there to teach her daughters. A husband wondering how he will juggle chemotherapy appointments with work and childcare. A son trying to be strong for the parents who could outlive him. It's not just patients. Cancer changes everyone it touches, and in some ways, it touches us all. For Joe and me, it has stolen our joy. It left us broken in our grief. But through that pain, we found purpose, strengthening our fortitude for this fight to end cancer as we know it. Almost 30 years ago, four of my friends were diagnosed with breast cancer in 1 year. And one of my dear friends, Winnie, lost her battle. Winnie inspired me to take up the cause of prevention and education. And since then, I've seen the darkness of this disease. Financial devastation, confusion over care, and far too many families mourning loved ones. Yet, I've also seen hope. In just this last year, I met a woman whose life was saved by determined nurses who just wouldn't let her skip her screening. I met a doctor who was inspired to become a cancer researcher because she survived her own diagnosis as a child. I've seen people come together from rival companies or opposite political parties, sharing knowledge and finding common cause, united by the chance to save lives. A cancer diagnosis today may still leave us feeling hopeless, but we are not hopeless and we are not helpless. We are living in a golden age of research and discovery. We can end this terror, and all of us have a role to play. Because this isn't just about hoping that one person will decipher the answers alone. It's about listening to patients and survivors and their families and easing the burden they face. It's about the individual choices we can make to stop this disease before it's too late, to get screenings, to be vigilant with our health. It's about federal and state governments, the business community, and nonprofit organizations all helping to make those screenings more available and accessible. It's about bringing the brightest minds and the fiercest hearts to the table to learn and to collaborate and to discover together. Yes, cancer has the power to rewrite our lives, but we have the power too. More than we even know, we can stop it in its tracks. We can comfort and discover and dream our way past its paralysis. We can come together and rewrite the story that cancer tells. Now, as your First Lady, I'm deeply proud to be a partner in the commitments we're making to the Cancer Moonshot today. We're ensuring that all of our government is ready to get to work. We're going to break down the walls that hold research back. We're going to bring the best of our nation together. Patients, survivors, caregivers, researchers, doctors, and advocates, all of you, so that we can get this done. And I want you to know that I'll be there working right beside you. So I'm so honored to welcome all of you here to the White House today to take this next step. Together, we will give Americans a reason to hope. We will use this power of this White House to make your life better. And we will build a future where the word cancer forever loses its power. Thank you. It's my pleasure to welcome our next speaker. Vice President Harris knows the heartache of cancer, but she also knows how much hope can be found in our scientific community. She knows it because she saw it firsthand in her brilliant mother, who dedicated her life to researching breast cancer. Kamala, you honor your mom's memory every single day, but I believe she's especially proud of you today. Please welcome the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Dr. Jill Biden. Please have a seat. Please have a seat. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, President Joe Biden, thank you both for your incredible and long-standing leadership on an issue of national importance, yes, and of personal significance to so many of us, including me. So as Dr. Biden said, my whole life I stood witness as my mother, a scientist, worked to end breast cancer. So my mother taught at public universities. She worked at a national laboratory. She published groundbreaking research. She was a peer reviewer at the National Institutes of Health, NIH. And collaborated with scientists around the world, including in France, Italy, and Canada. My mother's discoveries helped save women's lives. And I am so proud that she brought our nation and our world closer to the goal of ending breast cancer as we know it. And today we are closer than we have ever been. Since the turn of the century, we have made significant breakthroughs. We have learned so much about therapeutics and diagnostics, about public health and patient care. More people are surviving cancer, more people are enduring cancer after being diagnosed than ever before. And the death rate for cancer has fallen by about 25% over the past 20 years. In a moment, our president will lay out the new goals, ambitious goals, achievable goals for our nation to end cancer as we know it. These goals are not abstract, and they will transform lives. They will improve lives, and they will save lives. So I said at the outset that this is an issue of personal significance to so many and for me. You see, after a lifetime working to end cancer, cancer ended my mother's life. I will never forget the day that she sat my sister and me down and told us she had been diagnosed with colon cancer. It was one of the worst days of my life. And an experience that, sadly, millions and millions of people in our country have had. My mother was a fighter, all 5 feet of her. You would have thought she was 7 feet, but she was only five. And as I cared for her during those many months, I watched her courageous fight. But after countless rounds of chemo, her body gave out. She was transferred from the hospital to hospice. And in fact, one of the last questions she asked the hospice nurse was, "Are my daughters going to be okay?" I miss my mother every day, and I carry her memory with me wherever I go. When President Biden launched his cancer moonshot 5 years ago, I, of course, thought of my mother. We may not have ended cancer as we know it, not then, but there is still so much work to do, and we are so much closer. The president's cancer moonshot demonstrates who he, our president, is. Because as you all know, out of his personal pain, he launched an initiative, this initiative, that will help countless lives, the lives of people he may never meet. This initiative also demonstrates who we are as a nation. In America, we not only dream, we do. We not only see what can be, we see where we can go in a way that when we reach for the moon, we plant our flag on it. So it is now my honor to introduce another leader who for many years has worked tirelessly in the lab and the clinic in that spirit. From Emory University School of Medicine, Dr. Ajay Andone. Thank you.
These new pandemic rituals, the taking off the mask at the podium. I'm getting used to it. Thank you, Vice President Harris. It is an honor to be here with you and to follow the path paved by your mother and all the brilliant researchers that came before and whose shoulders we stand upon. To the First Lady, thank you for your empathy and for truly understanding the pain and the promise that is this fight. I am thrilled to be able to be here to introduce someone that many of us consider to be the country's patient advocate in chief, President Joe Biden. From my vantage point as a neurosurgeon scientist, constantly thinking of ways to treat cancer patients, to fight cancer, and seeing countless patients every year, and as a board member of the National Brain Tumor Society, I can confidently say that this is the most exciting moment in the history of our field. As a physician today, when seeing patients with aggressive cancers like metastatic melanoma or lung cancer, I know that many more of them will see durable remissions after treatments with therapies that harness the body's immune system to fight their cancer. As a researcher, I know the NIH has created grants targeting brilliant young investigators. Yes, that's me. That encourage us to take risks and chart new directions for our work. As an advocate, knowing that there is a president who is throwing the full weight of the presidency behind this effort means that even between big announcements like this one, all levers of government are being pulled to create a brighter future for cancer patients. This is also an exciting moment for me personally, because I'm here. As a son of Ghanaian immigrants who came to the United States with nothing, there was a time when I could not participate in the scientific discussion in the United States. We have a ways to go before we're harnessing all of the diverse talents of our country. People of every race, ability, gender, and orientation. But the progress that we have made means that we're constantly bringing new ideas to this challenge. I stand here as a husband to Kelly, a father to Joseph, who's 9, and Emily, 6, to tell you that this is a moment to believe in a healthier future for all families, to believe that we can end cancer as we know it, to believe in science, and to believe in America. Standing firm in that belief, it is my honor to introduce the person charting the course ahead with vision, purpose, and so much hope, the 46th President of the United States, our Advocate in Chief, Joe Biden.
Thank you. I'm Joe Biden, Jill Biden's husband. I want to thank you, Doctor, for that introduction. But I want to thank you more for all the effort you put in to change, save all the people's lives. Your dedication to it. And as I used to say in the Senate, I think it's still said in the Senate, if you excuse the point of personal privilege, I'd like to see that doctor on the end there. That's the man who spent 18 months trying to save our son's life. Doctor, I love you. The whole family loves you. Folks, a doctor's optimism and fearlessness embodies what our cancer moonshot is all about. And of course, I want to thank Jill and Kamala and Doug. They just shared how personal it is for them and our families. And like so many of you, every one of you have a story. Every one of you have a story. And our message today is this: we can do this. I promise you, we can do this. All those we lost, for all those we miss, we can end cancer as we know it. I committed to this fight when I was vice president. It's one of the reasons why, quite frankly, I ran for president. But let there be no doubt, now that I am president, this is a presidential White House priority, period. You know, the bipartisan members of Congress, and I don't want to start because I'll leave somebody out. But, you know, Congress is here. This is, they can tell you, one of the truly bipartisan issues in the United States Congress. I know their votes, but that includes Senator Patrick Leahy, Michael Bennett, Amy Klobuchar, Chris Van Hollen, Sanford Bishop, Representative Joyce Beatty, Barbara Lee, Jim McGovern, Donald Payne, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Bonnie Watson Coleman, Tom Cole, Brian Higgins. I said I wasn't going to do this. Terry Sewell. And it can be truly an American moment. I'm sure I've left somebody out, for which I apologize. But this can really be an American moment that proves to ourselves and, quite frankly, to the world that we can do really big things. You know, we made enormous progress in the past 50 years. Since Congress passed President Nixon signed into law the National Cancer Act and declared war on cancer, we learned cancer is not a single disease. You used to think at that time it was a single disease. There are over 200, as you all know, 200 different types of cancer caused by different genetic mutations in our cells. We discovered new medicines, therapies, early detection, prevention, measures that extend lives and save lives. In the first 25 years since the National Cancer Act, the death rate from cancer was largely unchanged. Then things began to change. The progress over the last 25 years, the death rate has fallen by more than 25%. But here's the deal. Despite the progress of lives extended and lives saved, cancer is still the number two cause of death in America, second only to heart disease. In the last 2 years of COVID-19 pandemic, the pandemic has taken more than 800,000 American lives. But that same period of time, cancer has claimed 1.2 million American lives, year in and year out. For too many patients and their families, on diagnosed with cancer, instead of hope, there's also bewilderment. Remember, Doc, you telling the family that you had to be able, we had to be able to ask questions and you were available, because it's a hard road to understand and to traverse. The feeling of being on your own, a static adrift in a sea of patients, frustrated that hospitals and doctors can't only easily share your medical records or help find answers when there's minutes count. Having to advocate for even the most basic care and attention for your loved one. A flood of information, completely different language, in many cases with no one to help you decipher it. Being within reach of a therapy that's too expensive, or your insurance won't cover it. Despite all the progress, there's still a sense of powerlessness, guilt that maybe you're not doing enough because you don't know enough, and fear. So when President Obama asked me to launch our Cancer Moonshot in our administration, our goal was to bring a new sense of urgency to make the system of prevention, research, and patient care, to take advantage of the 21st century science and technology. We began the process. Many of you in this room were part of that. We harnessed the resources of the federal government to change the culture, increase cooperation among scientists, and break down some of the silos. I note parenthetically, I remember I wanted to transfer a particular scan from a hospital in Pennsylvania to a hospital in D.C. And I was told I couldn't do it, wasn't able to do it. Could transfer about anything else in the world, but it couldn't do it because the hospitals didn't want the other hospitals to have access to their, because the patients could change their mind. All the records. That included everything of making federally funded cancer research more accessible to the public instead of hiding behind a paywall. We launched trials.cancer.gov so everyone can look up cancer clinical trials across the country and around the world. I travel the country, bringing together leaders of healthcare, technology, education, business, and technology. I visited most of the major cancer centers literally in the world, met with heads of state in those countries, and decided how we could work together to try to make progress. I remember a particularly good meeting in Australia. One of the final pieces of legislation that President Obama signed into law was the bipartisan 21st Century Cures Act, with the help of members of Congress, particularly, I don't know, is Fred Upton here? Fred, are you here? Well, Fred Upton was part of it, and Diane DeGette in the House. It streamlined the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, so that new cancer treatments can be evaluated faster. It provided 7 years of new funding, including research on cancer disparities, trial networks to discover new drugs and new efforts for childhood cancer. As president of the Senate, I presided over the overwhelming vote after the election had already taken place, the presidential election, when everything is supposed to come to a screeching halt, a bipartisan vote to fund over $6 billion. And I watched my friend, and he is my friend, we disagree a lot, Mitch McConnell, stand there and ask unanimous consent to name the cancer provisions after our son, Beau. Cancer Moonshot brought the country and the world closer together on this issue. And when we left office, Jill and I knew we had to keep it going. So we took in a lot of you. We had 5 Nobel laureates and others who were involved. Through the Biden Cancer Initiative, we focused on turning the moonshot into a movement to create the cancer research and care system that most people think we already have and that they all deserve. But they don't know we don't have it till they try to deal with it. And everywhere we'd go, people would share their stories. In grocery stores, airports, rope lines. While we heard stories of loss and despair, the stories began to change just a little bit, a change of feeling, real hope. But not because of me and Jill, but because of all of you in this room and so many more at home. Doctors, researchers, advocates, caregivers, patients, survivors. And that's why today I'm proud to announce our plan to supercharge the Cancer Moonshot as a central effort of the Biden-Harris administration. It's bold, it's ambitious, but it's completely doable. Just as we harnessed the science to develop cutting-edge COVID-19 vaccines and treatments, we'll bring a fierce sense of urgency to the fight against cancer. The goal is to cut the cancer death rate in half in the next 25 years, at least by 50%, and to turn more cancers from death sentences into chronic diseases that people can live with, to create a more supportive experience for patients and their families, and by doing these things and more, to end cancer as we know it. And here's what we're fighting and how we know what cancer looks like today, a disease where we often diagnose it too late. We have too few effective ways to prevent it. The stark inequities based on race, disparity, zip code, sexual orientation, gender identity, and other factors still persist. And we know too little about why treatments work in some patients in the exact same, that same patient with the exact same diagnosed cancer, it doesn't work in that patient. Where we still lack strategies to develop treatments for some cancers, where we don't do enough to help patients and their families navigate through the process. We don't learn enough from patients' experiences or their data. In fact, when we first started this work, one of the first things we did was make sure that doctors and researchers work together, share information, allow patients to share their data with other doctors and researchers to help others. But there's so much more to do. I remember we were going through this in the moonshot and my saying that I was told, oh, well, patients don't want to share their data. They all want want to share their data. Sometimes y'all don't want to share what you know. And for each of the ways we know cancer today, we know we can change its trajectory. For example, to prevent cancer, scientists are exploring if the new mRNA vaccine technology that brought us safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines could also be used to stop cancer cells when they fail, when they first arrive. Get them then. To target the right treatments to the right patients, we're learning more about how to use genetics, immune response, and other factors to tell which combinations of treatments are likely to work best for a particular individual. To address inequities, we can target prevention, detection, and treatment efforts so that all Americans, whether they're urban, rural, or tribal communities, have equal access to cancer diagnosis, therapeutics, clinical trials. There's so much more we can do. As I said at the beginning, this is the presidential priority. I will do my part on funding and using my authorities as president to break log jams and speed breakthroughs. I challenge and encourage all of you, to continue to do your part. This will be bipartisan. This will bring the country together, and quite frankly, other nations as well. Here are some of the actions that I'm announcing today. First, I formed a new cancer cabinet, which is convened in the coming weeks to include members of the cabinet who are here today, all the people sitting on the stage here. They'll drive a whole-of-government effort to unleash every possibility within our power, within their jurisdictions. The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, led by senior scientist and advisor Dr. Eric Lander, sitting on the end there, will chart the path for the cancer moonshot for 2022 and beyond. I'm calling on Congress to fund my proposed ARPA-H, the Advanced Research Project Agency for Health. This will be a new kind of entity within the National Institute of Health, the NIH, with autonomy and authorities to drive unprecedented progress in biomedicine. It's based on DARPA. Most everybody knows in this town what DARPA is. That's the Defense Department's Advanced Research Project Agency that has led to breakthrough technologies that protect our national security, from the internet to GPS and so much more. ARPA-H will have a singular purpose to drive breakthroughs to prevent, detect, and treat diseases, including cancer, Alzheimer's, and diabetes, and other diseases. And I think there's strong bipartisan support for this. But it costs money, and this is the best. These are the best dollars we could spend. So we got to get it done. We got to get it done now, not wait any longer. I'm also calling on the scientific and medical communities to bring the boldest thinking to this fight. I'm calling on the private sector to develop and test new treatments, make drugs more affordable, and share more data and knowledge that can inform the public and benefit every company's research. And I'm respectfully calling on people living with cancer and caregivers and families to keep sharing their experience and pushing for progress. You'll have a voice and a seat at the table, I promise you. And here's the one thing we can all do. America has missed more than 9 million cancer screenings in the last 2 years because of COVID, 9 million. We have to get cancer screenings back on track and make sure they're accessible to all Americans. So today, I'm announcing a call to action for cancer screening and early detection. If you were supposed to get a cancer screening during the pandemic, call your primary care doctor today. If you're that doctor, talk to your patients. Get a screening scheduled, whether it's in the office, at home, or through telehealth visit. Because the Affordable Care Act now will cover most private insurance plans as well as Medicare and Medicaid to cover the recommended preventive care screening free of charge. I'm calling on companies, healthcare providers, nonprofits, and others to step up, including developing mobile units and pop-up clinics to reach people where they live. And if you're putting off screening because you're afraid of what you'll find, they'll find. Let me say this, and so many people are, put it off. Last November, I got a colon cancer screening. I'm glad I did. Trust me, I know cancer's scary. Going to the doctors can be scary. But screening is how you catch it early before it's too late. The earlier you get it, the better shot you have. Let me close with this. There's a quote that when I made one of these speeches years ago, 5, 6 years ago, was attributed to Yo-Yo Ma. I later was informed it was attributed to Vince Lombardi. But whoever the hell gave the quote, it makes sense. Here's the quote. Practice makes permanent. Only perfect practice makes perfect. My challenge to everyone involved in this fight against cancer, take a hard look at your practice. Ask yourself if you're practicing perfectly. Or am I practicing to make the old way permanent? Old practices that created data silos, minimized the role of patients, fostered the wrong kind of competition instead of the right kind of collaboration. I know we can get this right. I'm positive we can. By not losing sight of the ultimate goal, the patient's health. And by not losing sight of something else, I also believe. America is a single place on earth, single country that can be defined, as I told Xi Jinping, by one word, possibilities. Possibilities. When we work together in America, there is nothing, nothing beyond our capacity. Nothing. So let's show the world what's possible. Let's show the world that we're committed. Let's show that we can do big things. That in the United States of America, when we work together, there's nothing beyond our grasp. I mean, nothing beyond our grasp. And I know of nothing, as I think my colleagues would say, that's more bipartisan than take on this fight and fundamentally change cancer as we know it. It's a mission that can truly unify the nation. It shows us at our best working together and rather than working against one another. Every patient asking for one more day. I remember I met with over 3,000 researchers in the various organizations. And they're good. They're devoting their whole lives to try to save things. And they work really long hours. But they're not practitioners. They've not had that patient come up and say, Doc, can you give me just 2 more weeks? So I can see my daughter married. Doc, all I need, can you do anything to give me just 6 more months to see the baby born? That's all I'm asking for, Doc. There's a sense of overwhelming urgency. Overwhelming urgency if you're a patient or a family member of a patient. Every patient asking just for one more day. They're not asking to cure me. One more day. One more week. Can I get another year to be able to do boom? For survivors and caregivers who carry the physical and mental scars of treatments and recovery. And for those who have lost. And for the ones we can still save. Let's end cancer as we know it. I refuse to believe. I refuse to believe this is beyond our capacity. I refuse to believe it. You know, when I put together the Cancer Moonshot, I was vice president. The president gave me authority to task anyone in the administration. When they found out I had the Department of Energy and Ernie Moniz, when they found out I had NASA and a lot of other agencies, looked at me like, what's the matter with you? I said, guess what? NASA knows more about radiation than all of you. Seriously. And Ernie Moniz, we're at a place where we get a billion calculations per second. And it goes on. Skills people never thought would impact on this can do it. So my plea to you scientists is, share data as best you can. My plea to my members in Congress is, let's fund this particular program and focus on it till we beat it. And to the American people, keep the hope alive. There is hope. There is hope. And I'm confident, absolutely confident, if we make all our effort to deal with it, we can make fundamental changes in people's lives and change the families in this country in a much better position than they are today with regard to cancer. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it.
My grandmother would all hug you. Spread it. Don't spread the faith, guys. We can do it.